So tonight we're going to continue the series, The Kingdom Is. We've covered plenty of things that illustrate what the kingdom is not. Let's see, let me get my legal protection out here. We're going to read one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And it's verse number 20. It's one that we hit on before, but we're going to cover this one because this is the trait of the kingdom we're covering tonight. The kingdom is power. The kingdom of God is power. Now, this verse, 1 Corinthians 4, and let's see, we'll start with 19 just because I want to. This is Paul answering back, and there had been some preachers in Corinth that because Paul was gone so long, they were kind of talking smack about him. And they were saying, oh, Paul ain't all that, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're wanting to take his place. They're wanting to move into a place where they can take advantage of the people of God is what they're wanting to do. So Paul answers back, and he says in verse number 19, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. In other words, when I get back, I ain't going to argue with nobody. I don't care what they got to say. When I get there, everybody will be made known because of the power they have, right? That's going to tell it. And what he's kind of doing is he's reminding them that people can say anything they want to out of their mouth, but the fruit is going to dictate the tree. So whatever these people are that's talking to you guys and that are puffed up, and what he means by that is exactly what you think that it would mean. They puff themselves up to make themselves out to be something to these people, to try to get these people to divert money to them, I'm sure, to divert their allegiance to them, to start listening to them so they can teach them things they want to instead of what the Bible teaches. So they can teach them their opinion and teach it like it's doctrine, right? And that's what happens a lot of times today, too, if you think about it. There's a lot of places where the pastor teaches, you know, well, you know, you got to wear long sleeves or you're going to hell. You got to shave or you're going to hell. The dudes can never wear shorts or they're going to hell. Just all kinds of things. And all these things are personal opinions. But the reason these pastors can get people to follow that and just believe that's Bible is because they have said it over and over and over again, I'm the man of God, right? And they'll quote a verse that says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And then they teach that that means you better not talk about that preacher. God will get you. And they'll use Miriam and they'll use Aaron when they came out of Egypt, how they talked about Moses because he had a black wife and how she wasn't a follower. And they ran their mouth about him. And then God struck Miriam with leprosy. And they use all that. And they're like, so you don't even want to talk about the preacher. Well, that's a pretty convenient thing to teach when you're the preacher, ain't it? Kind of gives you license to do almost anything you want to do and not worry about somebody saying, hey, I don't understand this. Is this right in the Bible? See, they won't even do that because they're freaked out that God will strike them dead for talking about the preacher. When if you study that verse out, touch not my anointed, guess what? He wasn't talking about the preachers. When you read those verses in there, he's talking about the people of God. They ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. And do my prophets no harm? Well, guess what? Most of these guys standing in the pulpit. Sorry. That's okay. Oh, kind of freaked me out a little bit. I thought, see, God's going to get me already. Most of these people standing in the pulpit, you ain't going to worry about doing your prophets no harm because they ain't prophets. And if they are, they're false prophets. And God ain't going to do nothing bad to you for telling the truth about a false prophet or a crooked preacher. The reason so many things... Man, I didn't mean to go here tonight. Well, I guess we're here. The reason so many things have gone on so long in quote-unquote the kingdom of God is because the ministry has not been accountable. If you teach the people that they can't talk about you or that you hear from God first and whatever you hear from God is right and God's going to tell you first before he tells anybody else, well, guess what? You're going to produce people, the ones that stay, that are afraid to ever open their mouth about you no matter what you do, and that believe you hear from God before they do, and they come to you with everything. Well, I was thinking about this promotion, but has God told you anything? Why would God tell me? It's your promotion. Wow. I mean, he ain't going to tell me first. You ask me to pray about it, and if God tells me something, I'll tell you, but more than likely, God's going to tell you. It's your job, right? And so anyway, the reason things have been allowed to go on so long in so many places is because the ministry's not held accountable to anybody. Why do you think in a Catholic church that pervert priests can molest boys and people stay? Why in the world would they stay when these pervert priests, the world over, mind you, are molesting their sons because they've been brainwashed into thinking that these are the men of God, and if there's a fault, you better go to the Pope, and if the Pope says they're forgiven, he is, because the Pope is infallible. You see? In order to be able to teach a false doctrine and get people to believe anything, the first thing you teach them is, I'm never wrong. Amen? You teach them, you don't ask, you don't question the ministry. By God, and I mean by God, you better question the ministry. If something ever seems sideways to you, look it, find it, and if it's still sideways, come to the ministry and hold them accountable. And say, hey, you know, that was a really cool Bible study the other night, but I'm having a trouble with this one verse, and I'm not attacking or nothing, dude, but I can't wrap my brain around how you shared it. Because, you know, I've studied it, and this is how I get it, so can you break it down for me again and help me to understand it? And guess what? A preacher that's really trying to help you is going to love that. Think about that for a minute. Why in the world would somebody have a problem with you coming back later and saying, hey man, can you break this down better for me? Because I still ain't got my teeth into this thing yet. Anybody that teaches the Bible and loves to see people adopt the Bible into their life and be blessed by it is going to be like, oh yeah, man. You want me to come to your house? You want to come to mine? Put the coffee on. I'm coming. Because that's why you do what you do. So that means somebody that you would approach like that, any preacher you'd approach like, this was nowhere. Any preacher you'd approach like that, that would have a problem with it, or get an attitude, or, well, you're just being a little rebellious, so are you questioning me, or seem sideways, or you can tell is irritated by that? That's the only red flag you need to get away from that dude, or that woman. Get out of there. Does that make sense? Yeah. It makes sense. Well, okay, let me get off that verse. She says, when I come, I don't care about what they got to say. We're going to find out. I'm going to check their power. See, that's why I don't get ruffled. Somebody says, I got the gift of this and I got the gift of that. Well, awesome, because you know what? Somebody does. And you probably do. And we're going to find out because it'll be manifested and the fruit will be there, then it's okay. But if the fruit's never there, or if the fruit is rotten, or if the fruit in your own life is rotten, well, you know, your words were good, but we're going to know it by the power. And then here's verse 20, where the theme for tonight is, besides corrupt preachers, yeah. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, don't get confused. When it says the kingdom of God is not in word, it's not saying that the kingdom of God is not in the word, right? This word right here means a topic, preaching, or reason. So it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, it's not in topic, a great topical preacher, it's not in preaching, it's not in reasoning and logic, right? And it means that the kingdom of God is not in these things only, but it is in power. And that word for power, it's one of my favorite words, it's dunamis, and it means miracle power. So the kingdom of God is in miracle power. See, that you flip that around. Miracle power is in the kingdom of God. Right. So if we never see something that's transformational, if we're never... Now understand, miracle power, that doesn't mean just like one miracle. We think of blinded eyes open, and that's awesome, right? We think of cancer being gone, and that's awesome, and those are miracles. But that's not even the scratching the surface of all the miracles that miracle power can do. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's a miracle when Jeremiah the bullfrog can sing an old chorus that most other people don't know, and God shows up. Amen. That's miraculous. It is, man. When we can meet at a kitchen table, and we're not in a building, we don't have, well, there's home interiors on the wall, but it ain't the sanctuary, right? I think this is Hobby Lobby. I'm trying to remember. but we're not in a sanctuary with a steeple. There's no platform, right? There's no speaker. There's none of those things that you think is church. And yet when we come together here, every time we come together here, man, God comes with us when we're here. He meets us here. That is a miracle. Don't you think it's miraculous that you can reach out and touch a God who's so holy that nobody's ever seen him? Mm-hmm. A God who's so holy that we can't go in his presence with this flesh, and yet we can touch him and he touches us at the kitchen table? That's miraculous.
Yes. Yes.
So if all we ever do is come together in word only, you know, and I had a good topic and the preaching was entertaining and the reasoning was sound and we were talking about how God is active and God is present, but we never felt an active, present God, then we've got a kingdom that's being presented in word only with no power. Anywhere in the world where they gather together and say, we're here in the name of Jesus, we're here to worship the Almighty God, but there is never power, is not in the kingdom. Now that's not mean. I didn't write it. If it said everybody that gathers together is in the kingdom, guess what? I'd be teaching tonight. The kingdom is everybody that gathers together. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it is in miracle power. So anybody that gathers together, they can be wonderful people doing a lot of wonderful works. But if they stand up there and they say that God don't do miracles anymore, not in the kingdom. If they stand up there and say God don't heal nobody anymore, guess what? According to the Bible, according to Paul, they're not in the kingdom. Now they may do a lot of good works and they may love Jesus, but they're misguided because they're denying, they have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, I'm not slamming nobody. I'm just reading the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm giving the book report. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Man, I wouldn't stay nowhere where there wasn't the power to free me if I was in bondage. I wouldn't stay nowhere if there wasn't the power to make me an ex-alcoholic when I'm an alcoholic. I wouldn't stay nowhere where the power wasn't there to help my marriage and help my finances and help my children and do like the song said, when my mind is stayed on Jesus, life is a lot better. It can't be a lot better if there's no power with it. See, if we could just think ourselves into a good life, we would have done that already. I would have thought myself into being an alcoholic if I could have. I tried it 5 million times. I would have thought myself into never being arrested again, I promise. And I tried it 5 million times. But none of those things ever happened to me until I made contact with the power of God. The kingdom is in power. So wherever your life takes you and your walk with God takes you, wherever you go, if there's ever a time where you're somewhere and you're seriously considering making that your church family, making it your church home and your church family, right? And you're really thinking about doing that, the one thing that you cannot leave out of your decision is whether or not that place has the power of the kingdom. Because if the power's not there, the kingdom's not there. Okay, I want you to leave a bookmark on 1 Corinthians. And I want you to turn to the left and find the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. There you go. Good job, Spud. You're getting there. Almost. Next will be Mark and then Matthew. You're starting to get pretty good at finding your way around there, boy. Matthew chapter number 25. The kingdom of God is power. And I'm going to give you the rest of the topic tonight. And this is what this scripture section of scripture is going to teach us. The kingdom of God is in power and not just in the preacher. You are powerful with two L's. And The truth of the matter is, you have no idea how powerful you are. Every one of you right now has a gift in you. And more than likely, every one of you has more than one. And if you don't know what that is, that's only because it's not been activated yet. But it's there. And it's waiting to be activated. And it will be. Because the progress you're making in your walk with God, every single one of you, you're headed right for it. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait till I'm in a pulpit and I get to step back and watch this one do that and that one do that. I'm just going to step back and go, yeah! Now watch, I'm going to show you right here. Matthew 25, verse number 14. The kingdom of God is power, not just in the preacher. There's these red words. I like these. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, we know Jesus right here is referring to himself and what he's going to do. He's going to go into a far country, all right, after his resurrection. Phew, he's ascending. And at his ascension, he delivered goods unto us. And the point in this verse that's most important is that the goods that he delivers to his servants is his. They're his. We're just stewards. Anything we have from God, we're stewards. We don't possess them. They have been given to us to be stewards over and to put to use. Verse 15. And unto one of his servants, now he's talking about himself and he's talking about us. He's talking about the church. Unto one of his servants, he gave 5 talents. Now, this word talents in this means money, but it can mean anything. All right? This is a story as an example to us that he's given one of his servants 5 talents, to another he gives 2, and to another 1. Well, you know, that don't really sound like it's very fair. But listen to how he does it. To every man according to his several ability. So they receive according to their ability. This isn't talking about the master's ability to give us, because he could give every one of us 5,000 of them, right? His ability is endless. He gives us things to be stewards over according to our ability to be stewards over them. And we learn to be stewards. Right now, for the last year and whatever, we've learned to be stewards over prayer. We've learned to be stewards over each other. Think, let that sink in a minute. What I mean by that is when Lori and Travis come in and they've got a prayer request for Knox and for Abby and for the court date coming up, we are stewards over our prayer over that situation for their family. So in a sense, we have been stewards over them, over their spiritual welfare, over the welfare of their grandson and their daughter. You see? We were made stewards before you guys even moved here. Stewards praying, Lord, work it out for the Wells family. We had some responsibility to be praying for your family. So in a sense, we've been given stewardship over your spiritual welfare.
Amen.
No big eyes, no little U's, for real. Now, the receiver's ability. And in case you think that don't include you, well, I'm not able to do anything. I know I ain't got any. No, I'm glad you feel that way. Leave a bookmark right there and go back to 1 Corinthians. Only this time we're going to be in chapter 12. Well done, Spud. Take this and put it back in Matthew. There you go. Next one's going to cost you. I don't give them any tips for free. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Good job, dude. And we're going to start with verse number 7. Now, Jesus is telling us a story to teach us that when he's going to go to that far country, that he's going to give every one of his servants a talent, something to be stewards over, and he's going to give a different number to everyone as they're able to be stewards over. The cool thing is, when he that is faithful in a little shall be trusted with much. So when we prove ourselves to be good stewards over one thing, then God says, okay, you got that down. I'm going to give you another thing to be a steward over. So it doubles. And when we prove ourselves to be good stewards over two things, God says, okay, I'm going to let you be a steward over another. Okay, watch. I'll show you. Verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that's awesome. That's like we were talking a minute ago about how we come together and you can feel God. God is here. He's manifested, right? So the writer's saying the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many?
Every.
And that word man just means everybody. So it isn't just given to the preacher. Boy, that preacher put something on you. No. The manifestation of the Spirit. That means the Spirit of God will be noticeable somehow. Right? You won't have to just say, just pray this prayer and just believe something happened. No, that's not manifestation. That's just convincing myself something happened that I couldn't tell happened. When something is manifested, you can tell it happened.
Right.
When I go through the house at night and I'm tired and I don't have my contacts in and there's a table or a chair out in the middle of the floor that wasn't out in the middle of the floor when I went to bed, it's manifested when I hit my toe in there. My toe knows that chair's there. It was manifested. I don't just have to convince myself the chair was there. It's the same way with the Spirit of God. Think about this. What kind of a God would he be if you just had to convince yourself he was there? Could he really hold the sun right where it needs to be then? So it ain't too far away so you freeze, but it ain't so close that it burns you up? Could that God that does that with the sun be the same God you have to convince yourself is in your heart? That don't make sense. Could the same God that the Bible teaches that knows when a sparrow's heart stops beating, could that God forget you? No. God is manifested. He's real. His power is real and tangible. That means you can touch it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to only those who ain't messing nothing. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to only those who have been around this thing for 35. But the manifestation of the Spirit is only given to those that are as far along as they ought to. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody. Everybody. That means Stacy, Jimmy, Kitty, Lori, Travis, Stacy. If he's paying attention, you wouldn't. Spud? And even me every now and then. And look what for. Look what for. Not to show off. Not to impress somebody. To profit. Now what does that mean, that profit? Then what that literally means is to do your life good. The Spirit is given to every one of us to be manifested in our life, to be provable that it's there, so it will profit our life. What does that mean? Well, it'll profit my marriage. That little chorus I sung, it was funny, but you know what? It was true. My wife likes me a whole lot better when my mind is stayed on Jesus.
Amen.
See? But you see? So the manifestation of God in our lives, it profits my marriage. The manifestation of God in our life, it profits my relationship with everybody. I'm not this nice. What that one rap, right? What that one rap song say? It said, if you see me feeding somebody, that ain't me, yo. That's the Holy Ghost in me. I ain't that good. I ain't that nice, right? But when the Spirit of God is manifested in my life, it profits my life. And you know what else it does? It profits everybody in my life. Because if I'm trying to please God, I'm going to be a way better husband than if I was just trying to please me. If I'm trying to please God, I'm going to be a way better brother than if I was just trying to please me. I'm going to be a way better friend than if I was just trying to please me. So the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every single one of us, so our life will be better for it. Oh, I like that. That's good Bible right there. Some folks get choked up. Verse number, for to one is given by the Spirit, not by earning, not by fasting for 90 days. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Man, that's cool. You know, that word wisdom, simply put, is good judgment. Now, what that means is, you know, you think, well, do you have to have this? Does God have to give me that? When you look at our world today, and it kind of seems that way. But what this good judgment means is it means a mostly good spiritual judgment. So the Spirit of God will give us good spiritual judgment. So you'll know. You'll just know something. There might be something that happens in a service somewhere. You're visiting a service somewhere, and you don't know. You don't know what it was, but something just didn't jive with you, and you don't know why. It wasn't somebody did something mean or nasty, but something just didn't. It just didn't. And what that is the Spirit is giving you good spiritual judgment. So you'll know when something's good and healthy and when something's not, even if you don't know why it's not. Ain't he an awesome God? And to another, the word of knowledge. And look, by the same Spirit, what he's trying to tell us is he didn't go get that anywhere else. It's the same God that gave the one the word of wisdom that'll give someone else a word of knowledge. Same God. That word of knowledge is really cool because what that is, this is one of them that he's given me. And I know that because there'll be times where I'll just, well, like when we were like in worship. And I said, there's a blessing coming. I don't open my mouth and say stuff like that unless I know it. Because guess what? I live here. So, I mean, I'm not going to do that. Or if I'm thinking, well, I don't know if that's God or not. Well, if I don't know, I'm not open my mouth and say nothing. But when it's weird, because I'm going to tell you exactly how it happens. It's just like all of a sudden, simply like it says, it's like all of a sudden you just know something that you didn't know previously. You just know it. And that's from God. And the cool thing is that's given to profit the people of God is what it's given for. It's not to puff up the one that has it. It's because it's been given by the Spirit. The person doesn't do anything to earn it, but it's given to edify the people of God, not the preacher. So that word of knowledge, just knowing. It's the same way God will use me whenever he does for healing at different places. I'll be trying to preach or mind my own business, thinking I am, getting ready to do what I had planned to do. And then all of a sudden I'll just know that somebody here is sick with this particular thing. And I didn't know it before. And when it first started happening some years ago, it kind of weirded me out. Like, well, I'm not saying that. That's kind of weird. I don't know that. What if it ain't? One time a few years back, my brother-in-law and I drove all the way up to Illinois, and we were preaching this, it was a grand opening ceremony for this apostolic church in this town that had like 30 churches, right? And so, you know what I thought I'm going to preach? Why another church? And that's why I preached that night. Here's why another church, because this church ain't in word only. This church is in power. Well, I get up, and they got all these organizational dignitaries, and that's pretty good. Almost sound professional sentence right here, didn't it? All these organizational dignitaries, and the place is full, and they've got visitors from the community because they went out and knocked doors and handed out flyers and put out ads. So the place is pretty full. And I get up to preach, and I got what I know is a word from God, and I'm getting ready to preach it, and all of a sudden, I just have this weird knowing in my head. So over the years, I've learned to just spit it out. And so as soon as it came to me, I spit it out, and I said, somebody here has got a problem with your adenoids. And as soon as I said it, I thought, oh my God, how could you have a problem with breath fresheners? Yeah, I didn't have a clue what an adenoid was. I'm like, God, what could be wrong with somebody's Altoids? I mean, who cares about it? You know, the little things in the tin? Yeah. And then I'm saying, like, oh my God, I hope an adenoid's real. And this lady in the back, who was somebody from the community, right? She stood up and her eyes were all big and freaked out. She raised her hand. She goes, That's me. I've been to the doctor over my adenoids. And inside, you know, I'm smiling outside like I knew it all along. And then so I'm like, oh, thank God. But now here's why God did that. Because it was a new church opening in this city. And she was from the community, and I'm getting ready to preach. This isn't just a church in word only, but in power. So what does God do? God says, I'm going to prove that to these people and confirm the word before you even preach it. And he did that for her, not for me, not to make me look like something, because the scripture teaches that what do you have that you weren't given? And if you were given those things, why would you brag about it? How would you think you're all that because you've been given something? You didn't earn it, right? So that's why the scripture teaches that these are given to everybody and they're given to profit. See, that profited that lady, and it profited that church, and it profited the kingdom. And that's why these gifts are given. That's why they're given. Now, remember, this said to everybody. So Arliss up here ain't the only one running around with this. And even if I am right now, I won't be for long. Because God has those gifts for everybody, for you too. I mean, he can even make Spud stop coughing. Watch, it could happen. For the one who's given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, heal my brother in Jesus' name. That he wouldn't do that, and he'd feel healthy and good for your glory, Father. Jesus. Amen. And that's dead serious too. Amen. For the one who's given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the other word knowledge by the same Spirit to another faith. Oh, wait a minute. The Spirit gives faith? Man, you know, there's some people running around with some crazy faith. Mm-hmm. Did you ever meet anybody with like crazy faith? Mm-hmm. I don't mean just like normal faith. I mean, I'm talking about this. Oh, don't worry about it. It's going to be good. God's going to take care of that. And you're like, how's that going to happen? Right. I mean, it ain't like I don't love God over here. It ain't like I ain't living for God. It ain't like I don't believe God can. But I ain't feeling what you're feeling, Travis. Then you got these people that run around like that, and they just talk, and there's no doubt in their voice at all. And they just spit it out there, and you're like, am I supposed to be that way? Because I ain't feeling any of that. You know what? That's because this faith that they're talking about right here is this supernatural level of faith. And you know where that comes from? I'll tell you. If you want that, I'll tell you what, that makes life a lot easier. That'll save a lot of sleep when you got that supernatural kind of faith, because you won't be staying up at night worrying about tomorrow, because you got that supernatural dose of the Holy Ghost in that faith there, and it ain't going to bother you, right? You don't know how it's going to come. You just know it is. And I'll tell you how to work your way to receiving that particular gift of faith. It's simple. Believe it or not, it is. Believe the evidence you already have. Live your life in such a way that shows you have confidence in God for the things you know God does for you and has already done. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 says faith is. It's the evidence of things not seen. And you've got all kinds of evidence. You guys got evidence that man can tell you to be out of the house on Monday and God can have a house for you on Tuesday. You got faith that man will tell you it's going to cost you $1,200 to rent that U-Haul and that trailer, and God will say, I got a dude over here going to come do it for nothing. See? Now you got all kinds of evidence like that. You got evidence, Lord, that you can feel like, God, this is it. I don't know where to turn right now. I don't know what to do. And God will say, hey, remember that dork? He's a mess. You'll have to buy your own baptismal, but he can help you a little bit. You see? We've all got our own evidence. Spud, you got evidence that God is in your family's life, man. You got evidence he's in your mom and dad's life, and you've got evidence because of that that he'll do the same things for you that you've seen him do for them. We've all got evidence. So if we live in a way that reflects the evidence we already have with God, you know what God's going to do? God's going to say, he's walking, she's walking where they ought to be walking. They're walking confident in me on their own. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them a little extra because they're doing good with what they've got. But see, it kind of goes to that principle. We can't ask God to do things that we cannot do until we're really doing all the things we can do. I'm asking God to heal me, but, you know, I'm going out back and smoking 19 cigars and asking God to heal my lungs. God's going to be like, I need to heal your brain first, right? So we have to do the things we can do. And then once we got those bases covered, then God will step in and take care of things we can do. It's the same principle. If I live my life in such a way that shows, hey, I'm living according to the evidence I got. I'm not living according to how it looks. I've got evidence God works in these situations. So I'm going to walk like with this thing with the doctor. Man, I don't have 1 ounce of fear in my body. I'm not scared about anything coming my way. None of it. I'm going to walk through it just like I've walked through everything else in my life with a nail-scarred hand in mind. And I've got evidence that he's with me. So I'm going to live according to that evidence. Ain't no false bravado here. I've got 30 years of evidence. So then guess what God does when you walk according to the evidence you got already? God will say, here, I'm going to give you some faith. Going to make people think you've lost it all the rest of the way. Same Spirit. Same God. And you know what? That profits everybody when somebody around you's got that kind of, because it'll rub off. Huh? You know, hey, I use her every week. One of these days, I'm going to have to meet her and tell her that she's given me a lot of message material. Your work sister, Stacy, I mean, it rubs off, don't it? We've all got experience in people with that confidence in God that when you're around them, you walk away with that confidence too. And pretty soon, you're going to have your own. Okay. To another, the gifts. I like that S on there. I've heard that quoted 19 million times, and every time they say the gift of healing. This is super cool. The gifts of healing. But it's by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. That word miracle is my favorite word. Dunamis, miracle power. So what that literally means is the working of miracle power. That is so cool. That is such a cool phrase. Because that means that miracle power is always there. We just got to learn how to work it. You see what that says? That doesn't say the working of miracles. You know, like the working of opening blinded eyes or the working of cancer being gone. What it literally means is the working of the miracle power that is always with us when we come together. If God is with us every time we come together, there's never one time we come together when miracle power ain't there. How can God be somewhere and miracle power not be? So it's a matter of learning how to work that miracle power. And you know how you do that? If there's somebody that needs a miracle in the place, then you go by what you know, and God says he's a miracle working God, and we've seen God do miracles in the past, so guess what we're going to do? We're just foolish enough to pray God gives you a miracle. And after that, it's up to God. Now, if God don't do it, well, we're just going to keep praying until he does. We don't take the blame when God doesn't do something, and we don't take the credit when he does. You see? It's the same principle all the way through. It's God in us, not us in God. Okay. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. That word prophecy literally means prediction. This one does. But it's really cool because it's two-faceted. It means scriptural or other kind of prediction. Now remember I told you guys once before in a previous lesson that there are three kinds of prophecies. One of them's false, Trump and the landslide. That's false, right? Proven to be true. So there's a false prophecy, one that does not happen, and none of those are from God. God never gets nothing wrong, and neither do God's prophets. It's in the book all the way through. The other kind of prophecy is one that's given and spoken, and then it comes to pass. And then the other one, like I've told you before, is in the Bible. Where if you see a certain condition in the society, in the Bible, and they kept going that way, and God did something specific to that society, then if you look around the society you're in, and it's headed that same way, God's going to do the same thing. And that's what this word right here means. It means a prediction, whether it is a scriptural prediction or other. What that other means is sometimes God will just tell somebody something. Well, I guess it was, I hate to keep using myself like this, but I mean, I know me better than I know anybody else. And it just happened like with a blessing coming. I guess according to this definition, that was a prophecy, something that's going to come. And it wasn't something I didn't see a verse that says, oh, there's a blessing coming to Travis and Lori. So it's not a scriptural prediction, right? And it came on the spot from God. So that is the other kind of prediction. And we just had an example of it tonight. The cool thing is it ain't just in the preacher. That means there's someone else around here right now. Every someone else that can be used that way. That's awesome. To another, discerning of spirits. I like that one. That one's cool. Discerning means to see, to understand, to know. So in other words, one day there's a false prophet going to stand up and he's going to preach and fire is going to come down from heaven. And a lot of people are going to follow that false prophet because they won't see him. They won't understand who he is. And by looking at the church world today, I no longer have a hard time believing people are going to fall for that when it's right in the Bible who that's going to be. And the reason I don't is because the Bible also teaches that when a God prophet gives a prophecy, it's going to happen. And that if a prophet gives a prophecy and it don't happen, that means they're not from God. And today, we've got prophets on YouTube.
that have millions of followers, have money sent to them all the time by the church all over the place, and every one of them has given a false prophecy. And yet the people of God who have this Bible in their lap that says if someone gives a prophecy and it don't happen, they're not God's prophet, are the ones that follow these people. That's why I know that when that dude shows up and calls fire down from the sky, that it's going to be a lot of quote-unquote Christians that are the ones that are going to follow him. It ain't going to be the heathen. It's going to be people in the churches. How could you call down fire if he wasn't from God? Well, dude, it's in this chapter and verse right here. But that ain't going to matter, because it doesn't matter right now to a lot of people. Thank God for the gift of discerning of spirits. And I'm telling you right now, every one of you in your walk with God are acquiring that because of your walk with God. What that means is you've got something to compare everything in life to. You can discern, and you're going to grow greater in your discernment as you continue to walk with God and learn more of the book, because it'll be more obvious to you the things that are right and the things that are wrong. So every one of the people of God has discernment. It's the only question is, what measure of discernment do we have? And it's going to be related to how much of this do we know. Because the more we learn of this, the more we're going to know what we're looking at when we see it. Does that make sense? Good. To another discerning of spirit, to another divers kinds of tongues, just different tongues, different languages when they pray. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That's the translation. So that's cool. That means that there are people already in our group that are going to speak in other languages, and not just one language all the time, but different languages. And that there are people in our group that sometimes when those languages are spoken from God through a person, that there's going to be somebody here that's going to understand that and give the translation. And you want to talk about something that will make the hair on your body stand straight up. You don't have to wonder when it's a real translation, when it's a real interpretation, because you know there's a difference in the room. And you can tell when someone's given a tongue that is meant to be interpreted. And the reason you can tell is because this is an old phrase. You guys may be familiar with it, but a holy hush. When someone's given a tongue that's meant to be interpreted, you can feel the room just kind of goes, ah, because you can tell there's something different about that. Mm-hmm. And then you can feel that when they are done, you can also feel like this. It's almost a pregnancy. It's almost like the delivery is right there, and you can feel it in the room that there is supposed to be an interpretation. Now, I want to help you with this for a minute, and we're almost done. I'm not going to get through all this. Shock. I want to help you with this. Whenever a tongue is given, and it will happen, there's a difference between when we're worshiping and or when we're praying and someone starts to talk in a tongue. There's a difference between that and when there's a tongue and an interpretation. Okay, the difference is that when that tongue is given that's to be interpreted, you can feel that you will. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen, and you'll be like, when it happens, you'll be like, oh, that's exactly what he's talking about. And probably most of you have been in a situation where you already know what I'm telling you, where you felt that before, right? Now, here's where I want to help you. This scripture teaches that when that tongue's given, that it ain't just the man on the platform that might have the interpretation. Right. It's not just the worship leader that will have the interpretation. That interpretation could come from anybody in the church. You're like, well, how in the world will I know? I'm going to tell you exactly how you'll know. All of a sudden, you'll start getting some words in your head. You might get the first five words in your head. And it might just come, just for an example, it might be, the Lord is saying tonight, and that might come to your head. And when you know that you don't get those thoughts yourself, like you ain't ever tried to volunteer to know what somebody was saying in another language, okay? So then when that happens, you know it ain't you, because you ain't trying to step out like that. And the proof in the pudding is that you're doubting right now. Right? But listen, when you feel that, God's not going to give you the whole five sentences. And be like, okay, listen. Now say that. That's not the way it works. The way it works is God will give you the first four or five words, And if you say those first four or five words, the rest will just come. You remember the scripture says, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You have the living water in you. You have the limitless, unending, all-powerful Spirit of the living God inside of you. And the only thing that disconnects the Spirit inside of you from the Spirit that's everywhere else, oh, this is pretty good teaching, from everywhere outside of us is our skin. We are the bottles. We are the container. So when the Spirit's moving like that, and there's a tongue like that, and all of a sudden I get the first five words, I got the first five words. And if I start to say those first five words, that Spirit that's living inside of me is going to activate, and the God that gave that tongue is going to give the rest of it. And the awesome part is, when the rest of it comes, it don't come here first. It just comes right out here. And if you've ever been in a situation where you've heard a tongue interpretation and you know it was authentic, right? That person that gave that interpretation didn't get like half the sentence and give it and the other half and get, no, it just came just like that, which is exactly the way I was explaining earlier. The way, I don't know how he does it, anybody else, but the way God uses me anytime that he's ever healed anybody through me is that it's just an instant knowing and I just boop. Right? It's the same way. And listen, I want you to know something too. I want to give you some confidence tonight and make a covenant with you. Okay? In your walk with God, as long as we are all together, there will never be a time where you step out and try to be used by God and maybe it doesn't go well or it doesn't finish right. There will never be a time, first of all, that I will allow anybody to mock it or say anything negative. I will not discourage you. I will not correct you because you won't need correcting. In that situation, you need further teaching is all that it is, right? You need further edification. You have to learn, and that's how everybody learns. So if there's ever a time, let's say there's a tongue, and you're getting these words, and like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Oh, now what am I going to do? Because if I don't, that means, you know, I'm bottling up the Word of God. Oh, great. Thanks, Arliss. Thanks a lot, right? And then so you step out there, and you get five, and then nothing else comes? Don't ever. You're not going to get any backlash from me. And you won't get it from our church family, no matter how big it eventually grows. It's not going to happen. And what will happen is we'll talk about it. I will encourage you. And what I'm going to tell you is, you know what? Thank you for those five words from God, because we could have got none. Thank you for stepping out and willing to be used by God. Because you know what God will do with somebody that steps out and is willing to be used by him? He's going to use them. So if we encourage each other like that, then the next time that happens, that person that tried last time and only got five and God didn't give them the rest, instead of saying, oh, I never doing that again. Oh, not me. You ain't getting me again, preacher. Instead of doing that, they're going to be like, you know what? Here we go again. Because they're feeling those words, they're going to step out. And guess what God will do then? Give the whole thing. That's how it works, I'm telling you. But I just want you to know that you're in a safe environment, man. Amen. We're learning. Yes. We're learning together, and I want you to learn. The reason I want you to learn is because when you get powerful, we all get powerful. When you get closer to God, we all get closer to God. When God uses you in an awesome way, that magnifies God in the eyes of other people. If God does something through the preacher, they're like, oh yeah, that dude was on today. Well, you know, he's a preacher. That's his job. Ain't that what they're responsible for? But if God moves through somebody else, you know, that ain't up on the platform or behind the pulpit, people that have never been to the church before are going to walk away and say, whoa, God was in that place. That church is little, but they're bad up in there. Huh? So don't be nervous. When you feel something from God and you feel like stepping out in a certain way, do it, man. If you're in the right way, God will go do it all and it's all good. And if you stumble along the way, welcome to the club. We'll get it right. You'll get it right. God wants you to get it right. We just read that God has given this to everybody's got something. So somebody in our little church family's got this. And how are you going to learn to use this if you don't just whoop, right? So you can whoop anytime you want, and I'll help you the best I can. All right, let me finish. So I'm closing up tonight. And never get back where I wanted to. So different kinds of tongues, languages, to another the interpretation, the translating of those languages. And here's the last part for this section. But all of them. See, we look at some like some's better than others, or some's more awesome than others, or some does more than others. But all these work at that one and self-same spirit. Whoa, wait, who works it? Who works it?
God works it.
Yeah. Because remember, we're just the tools. Mm-hmm. We're just the vessels. That's awesome to know. That means we're offering ourselves up. God, work through me. Work through me any way you want to, God. That's what we're here for. And it says that God will work, dividing. And that word dividing, it literally means distributing.
Mm-hmm.
Distributing to how many?
Every.
Severally, as he will. And that word severally doesn't mean that just like he's going to give 9 to everybody. But what it does mean is his own. So then that means God distributes to everybody his own gift as he will. Now this last part is cool, because I'm going to leave this up to you to consider. God distributes to everybody his own gifts as he will. I'm going to leave it up to you to ponder who the he will is. Because it's already been proven that God wants to. So then if we already know that God wants to and the Spirit already has, the only question left is, are we going to let God work in us? So it kind of seems to me that when it says he distributes to everybody his own as he will, that ain't talking about as God will. It's talking about as we will. Let him. Who doesn't want to have the gifts of God? Well, it's too late now anyway, because you already got them. You already got some. I have to do that because there's just too much there. When you go back in your own time, and I'm going to encourage you to between now and Sunday, to go back to the 25th chapter of Matthew and read the rest of the parable. Because this is the point of tonight's, the kingdom is power. That he gave 5 to 1, talking about one of us, gave 5 whatevers, gave 2 whatevers to somebody else, gave 1 to somebody else, and the one that got 5, he went out and worked them. And the guy left, and he says, now, occupy. Do something. And he leaves, and he comes back, and the guy with 5 went out and worked those 5. And when dude got back, he had 10. Then the guy that had 2 went out and worked those 2. And when the guy got back, the guy that had 2 had 4. Just because he went out and worked them. But the guy that had 1, this kind of shows why God only gave him 1. This guy that only had 1, he says, man, this guy, he's a hard taskmaster. I mean, he takes stuff that he didn't plant. I don't know if he's talking about tithes, if that's the way he felt about tithing. I don't know. But he said, this guy's hard. He's a hard master. He takes stuff from places he didn't work. He's a hard master. And if I don't have what he gave me and he gets back, I'm going to be in trouble. So this guy took what was given him and he buried it in the ground. He kept it safe and sound. And when the master got back, he brought back to that master exactly what he'd been given. Thinking, I'm good, man. I didn't lose it. I didn't lose the Holy Ghost. Oops. I didn't lose my walk with God. Oops. I didn't lose my faith in... Uh-oh. He says, man, I'm good. I didn't lose it. I kept it safe and sound. I didn't walk away. I got it. And he gave it back to his master. And the Bible says his master called him a wicked, a slothful. He said, you should have done something with what I gave you. And then what's cool is he even quotes him. And he says, you knew I was a hard taskmaster. You should have went out and done something with what I gave you. And then this is one of the sayings that Jesus has that causes a lot of people a lot of confusion. He said, to the ones that have many, even more is going to be given. And to him that have little, even that's going to be taken. Mm. It's like, man, that don't sound right. Mm. How are you going to give more if somebody's got a lot and going to take the little bit I got? That don't sound like Jesus to me. What he meant by that was the ones that have the most are the ones that went and worked whatever they were given. That's why they have more, because they worked it. The one that has a little, the only reason people in the kingdom of God walk around with just a little is because they don't work the little they were given. If they work the little they were given, they're going to have more. So the point tonight is, the kingdom of God is in power. Not just in the preacher, but in all of us. Right. But the power's been given to us to work. Mm-hmm. Work it. Somebody's sick at work, but pull my trick on them. So one of your friends, you work family is what it is, not as long as you've been there, right? Somebody's sick and doing what he's doing, you know, just say, let me see your hand. Don't even ask him to pray. Let's skip that. Don't give him a vote. Let me see your hand. The hand you vote, Lord, touch my brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Help him feel better. Just walk right on down the road. And guess what you did? You worked it. You worked it. Same way in the neighborhood. Just like find out about the family with the fire, you know? Hey, I know you guys got everything, but you know, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you guys. You know, you're leaving, going to just excite and yada yada. Let me pray for you. And you pray for them. Ask God to walk with them. And you walk away, and guess what you did? You worked it. Right. So work what you got. If we don't, what's that old saying? If you don't use it,
lose it.
So we can think that, because I still got what was given to me, I ain't lost it, and I'm going to be all right with God, only to show up in front of God, and God say, you never worked it. Now you're going to lose what I gave you. So you have the power, work it. And when you try to learn how to work it, I'll help you the best I can, and you will learn how to work it, I promise. I believe that one day, when God heals me of my neuropathy, and I don't deal with the things that I deal with, that it's going to be because one of you pray for me. I believe that. I've just had that feeling for a while, that there's going to be a day in a service sometime, one of you is just going to put a hand on me. You ain't going to break my neck or spit in my face or baptize me in oil. You're just going to say, Lord, heal my brother. Help him feel better. Take that neuropathy away. In Jesus' name, I'm going about your business. And I'm going to get home and be like, hey, hey. It's going to be because we work what we got, right? Yeah. All right. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for a powerful people. I ask you, Father, tonight to open their eyes that they would see that many of the miraculous things that have happened in their life, yeah, we know it's you, God, but it's been because they worked it. I ask you, Father, to when they look around and see where they are in their walk with you right now, Lord, we know it's you, but Lord, give them the understanding that it's because they worked it. I ask you tonight, Father, to trust every single one of us to cross paths with somebody that needs to know that the kingdom of God has power. And when we cross paths with them, Father, it won't be in a dramatic fashion. It may be as simple as saying, let me see a hand. And just saying, Lord, help my brother feel better in Jesus' name. And then walking away for they can say, what happened? And then let you do your job, God. But somebody's going to know the kingdom of God is in power. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that when we're in services and the power of God is moving, and any one of us feel the urge to step out, God, that we would have enough trust in each other to step out. Not even wondering what if, but trusting each other, Lord. And I ask you, God, to help all of us to deserve that trust. That if there's ever a day where somebody in our church family steps out and it don't go exactly the way that maybe it should have or it could have, that rather than look down our nose at someone that stepped out, that we would feel like the rest of those disciples who stayed in the boat. Yeah, they can open their mouth and say, Peter, you started to sink. But Peter can say, yeah, but I'm the only one besides Jesus who walked on the water. Right. So, Lord, I pray today you give every one of us the confidence in each other to step out of the boat when we know we should. I thank you for the power in your people. And I ask you, Lord, to teach us to use it. To use it for each other, for you in our services, but to use it for our family, to use it for the people that we are in contact with on a day-to-day basis, knowing that anytime we work it, Father, you're going to be glorified. That even if we don't see the end result, that's okay. Lord, sometimes all we can do is plant. We don't even get to see it watered. Sometimes, Father, we water it, and oh, we would love to see the fruit right then, the increase right then, and every now and then it happens that way, God, but even if we don't see the increase, let us never withhold the water. Let us work it, God. And I thank you, Lord.